everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this Monday, January 22nd, 2023. We're now into our 13th year broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, which is, of course, part of the Bustos Media Campus, where we have four stations under one roof. But we are coming to you from 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk, KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. This month, we have launched a new way to start the week on the Buckmaster Show. We call it the Monday One-on-One, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run. Since 1985, Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. That means Moe will come out, gladly make sure everything is up on the wall the way you want it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. This week's one-on-one guest, Ron Barber. Mr. Barber was a member of the U.S. House of Representatives representing Southern Arizona from 2012 to 2015. Congressman Barber, a Democrat, served as a district director for U.S. Representative Gabby Giffords before she resigned her seat due to the severe injuries she sustained in that assassination attempt in Tucson on January 8, 2011, during which time Mr. Barber also suffered serious injuries. Ron Barber won the Democratic nomination for the special election to finish Gabby's term in 2012. The general election, he was elected to a full term, but lost by just 161 votes to Martha McSally in his 2014 reelection bid. Congressman Barber's latest project is the nonpartisan Arizona Democracy Resilience Network, which he co-leads with Republican Don Henninger from Maricopa County. The Arizona Democracy Resilience Network is an initiative of the President Carter Center Foundation. Let's welcome now on our live line Ron Barber. Congressman, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill. Thank you. I was supposed to be with you in person, as you know, but I got caught up in a fender bender, not mine, somebody else's, and I'm still trying to get to the studio. So we're doing it by phone, which is fine, but better in studio if I could be there in time.
Well, yeah, and you're on your way, so maybe the second portion of our discussion will be with us in studio. One thing it doesn't say on your very extensive bio is that, like myself, you like 60s rock and roll.
Oh, boy, do I ever.
And you posted on Facebook a picture of you with the now late David Crosby, the 60s, 70s folk rock icon. What was he doing here in Tucson with you?
Well, he was here to be part of a benefit concert that my family and I put together after the shooting. When I was in the ICU, we had this crazy idea about forming a nonprofit. We called it the Fund for Civility, Respect, and Understanding, feeling that it might be helpful to address an issue of bullying and stigma of mental health issues. So we put it together, and the benefit really was our main funding source. We raised about $250,000 that night. We had, in addition to David Crosby, Graham Nash, of course, Jackson Browne, Alice Cooper, Oza Motley, Calexico, on and on. It was a great night for music, and I really appreciate David's and all of the other artists donating their time. They wouldn't take anything for their time, and we were able to raise the money, as I said, to kickstart our nonprofit.
Why don't we talk a little bit of it to start with this in light of the recent election, the Arizona Democracy Resilience network. Do you think generally it was successful this first year here in Arizona?
Yes, I do. And the reason for that is that we mobilized a 200-plus group of people who represented folks from across the political spectrum, conservative Republicans, progressive Democrats, and everybody in between, faith leaders, business leaders. And through their networks, we were able to communicate messages that we had developed to push back on some of the misinformation and disinformation that was coming out around the election and following the election, for that matter. We stayed on in business to address the issues in Cochise County, Maricopa County, Mojave County. So the end result was we were able to help people get right information, be able to reverse some of the misinformation. Certainly, because we were nonpartisan, or as we call it, cross-partisan, we had some effectiveness with a lot of people who really are just common sense folks, practical people, voters, and who just don't like the spreading of misinformation, false information, the way we've seen it.
We still have some people who were elected, Ron Barber, who turned their back on Governor Hobbs or walked out of the state address, not recognizing that she is the legitimate governor of Arizona. And you have you have Kari Lake contesting the election. Abe Hammerdot is still contesting the AG's race. So they're not letting it go. But we're going to get Ron back on the live line. Why don't we take the break right now, and then we will be back on the Monday 101. John, hold it here for 1 second, because I want to talk a little bit about Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We love Mo. They are the sponsor, our title sponsor for our Monday one-on-one. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Also, we want to talk about our great sponsor, Amona's Danish Bakery. My goodness, I was up there over the weekend, and a lot of people have found out about Moe's. Mona's, I should say. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are open right now for lunch. They do take Mondays off now, which well-deserved after a very big weekend. They open the doors at 6:30, Tuesday through Saturday, and then Sunday they open at 7 in the morning. Moe's Gallery Fine Framing and Mona's Danish Bakery.com. Some of our great sponsors on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take a break right here. Be back with Ron Barber after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, My air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site, is a beautiful location full of everything you need for the garden and some beautiful home improvement items, like making your kitchen look really great with a handcrafted dining room set from Mexico, Latin America, some beautiful things at Zocalo Village. That's their sister business, Green Things, in their 53rd year of business. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com are their websites, and Green Things and Zocalo Village open daily. Our Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Their website, moesgallery.com. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, our one-on-one guest today. We hope to have him in studio, but he got caught up in traffic behind a fender bender, and so we've got him telephonically. Former United States Representative Ron Barber with us on the live line. Congressman, as I was mentioning in the first segment, you're co-leading this nonpartisan Arizona Democracy Resilience Network. Was this just created for this past election, or is this going to be an ongoing project?
It'll be an ongoing project, Bill. We're going to continue through the election in 2024. You know, it's really interesting to note that the Carter Center, Jimmy Carter's foundation, has mostly been working overseas on election protection and helping growing democracies build their democracies. In 2020, after looking at what was going on in our country, they decided to bring that work home to the United States, Arizona being one of the states. We're joined by Georgia, North Carolina, Florida, and we'll be expanding this year to include other states as well. We're picking states based upon some of the trouble that they've experienced with election denial and election protests, and in many cases, unfortunately, threats to election officials and others because people didn't like the way the election was run, even though we know from a number of sources that the elections would run well and accurately. But so we'll be around for at least two more years.
The November 8th election, I think generally across the country, there was acceptance of the results. Here in Arizona, was somewhat of an anomaly, but across the country, it seems like the voting public, Ron Barber said, yeah, we accept what the voters have said.
Yes, I think that's true. And I think the election results in Arizona showed that our state, which unfortunately was sort of ground zero for a lot of the protests and the disinformation campaigns, there were four people who were endorsing the steal of the 2020 election, and all four of them lost in Arizona. So, and there were statewide offices. So it was a different turnout. I mean, obviously, we had a lot of Republicans, independents, and Democrats come together to say, no, we don't buy this. We're going to vote for the person we think is the best person for the job. And we're not going to buy into the big lie.
I'm curious about your opinion with the big dust up over the document, the classified records that have gone missing, both from former President Trump and now President Biden. Do you think maybe we need to have an overhaul, Ron Barber, of the U.S. system for protecting classified presidential records?
Yes, I think so. I mean, first of all, having been in Congress, knowing how carefully classified documents and information is protected, it is unacceptable, no matter who it is, for someone to take classified documents from the White House or any federal building and take it to their home or to their office. And so what's going on with President Biden, unfortunately, needs to be addressed. I'm glad we have a special counsel appointed by the Attorney General to do that. And I think that for what I've seen, the White House is cooperating, but unfortunately they keep finding documents, and it's just building up to be quite a problem for the president. So coming clean, saying as much as you can without in any way interfering with the investigation is what has to happen here. And it's just not right that anyone would take them. So yes, we need an overhaul. One of the problems we have is that there's a lot of documents that get classified top secret or somehow protected, and there's too many classifications like that really don't apply. There's no overall standard or overall office that manages that problem or that issue. When I was there, anytime we looked at a classified document, we went into what is called a SCIF. It's a very protected environment office. You leave your cell phone at the door. You can't take anything with you, including your notes. So that's what I think we ought to be doing with classified documents, in addition to looking at why so many documents are classified when they may not need to be.
The whole dust up, the 3-day, some would say fiasco over the Republicans electing a speaker. Are there long-term problems? Do you see long-term problems with something that we just witnessed, or will things even out?
Well, I typically take the long view about anything that's political because, the pendulum swings back and forth. I think the Speaker McCarthy has made a huge mistake for himself and for the institution by giving up so much of his authority to them in order to get the position of Speaker. I get it. He wanted to be Speaker very desperately, but he gave up way too much power and authority. The fact of the matter is you need someone in charge, and you need someone who can call the shots as they should be called, because you've got 435 members. It's a tough bunch to wrangle into a successful vote. So I think he gave up his authority to get those people into a room and making sure they vote in the right direction. I can tell you this, I mean, having served under Speaker Pelosi, she never came to the floor unless she had a good count and knew exactly how the vote was going to go. And if she wasn't going to prevail, she never brought it to the floor. That kind of authority is needed, even though some people say it's not democratic. The truth of the matter is that we've got a lot of people with different ideas, and the only way to hurt these cats is to have someone who has the authority to do so.
Well, there's a lot of concern looking down the road at the debt limit, Ron Barber. I mean, if Speaker McCarthy has made some promises to people, perhaps on the far right, about the debt limit, I think this country If we get into a crisis over the debt limit, it would be very bad, I believe. What are some of your thoughts?
Absolutely. Everybody that is viewing the economy with objective eyes knows that a debt limit not being passed, or a new debt limit not being passed, is potentially an economic disaster for our country and for our place in the world. You know, the full faith and credit of the United States is sufficient to cover our debts. And that's really what we're trying to do is with the debt limit change is to cover the debts that have been incurred either through tax reductions or through spending on the pandemic or spending on the Inflation Reduction Act. All of those things passed by Congress one way or the other have put us in a position where we need a higher threshold for the debt limit. I think that in the end, it's going to be a very tough vote for the House. I hope a few Republicans, moderates, will come over and work with Democrats on perhaps passing the bill. But if it collapses, if it doesn't pass, it is just so wrong and such a bad decision to allow a small group of people to put our country into economic crisis.
Just when we're trying to get out of, we're trying to avoid a recession, and the timing absolutely couldn't be worse. We just passed the 13th, the 12th anniversary of the Tucson shooting situation and the memorial that's been created. A few of your thoughts about that, Ron Barber, at this point.
Yeah. Well, the memorial was established about a year after the shooting. It was established in February of 2012. I was one of the founding members of the foundation, along with the father of Gabe Zimmerman and some others. The Greene Foundation was very helpful in getting us started. So the foundation raised money locally from foundations, individuals, companies, and so forth. Didn't get any appropriation from the legislature or from the County Board of Supervisors. So the county did a great job of helping get it constructed and managing the contract. But here's what it's all about. There really are two words that describe what the foundation's memorial intends to be, and one of them is called resilience. The resilience of our community in the days and weeks and months that followed the tragedy, where we were shocked to our core by what happened. The resilience of the people who have been here over decades and centuries, from the native people, the original people who came here, to the Mexican people, to the United States settlers and all of that. So it's a rugged place, and resilience is needed to be able to live and flourish here. So that's one thing. The other thing is the embrace symbol. We were embraced by our community with such compassion, such love and just affection. It still goes on. And so the memorial represents those concepts, but it also, of course, remembers the six people who were killed, the 13 who were wounded, the EMTs who came to our aid, the first responders generally. We wanted to make sure that forevermore this community remembered what happened that day, not just the tragedy, but the fact that our community decided we will not be defined by this shooting. We will be defined by who we are, a compassionate, loving, and caring community.
How about yourself? How about your situation and your recovery? It's a lifelong situation. I know PTSD, and then there's the physical healing. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, I'm so lucky. I have this wonderful wife of 55, soon to be 56 years, who took good care of me in my recovery. My daughters, my grandchildren, my in-laws all came around and helped me. I still have, unfortunately, and will have for the rest of my life, a leg that doesn't work. My left leg is basically paralyzed from the knee down all the way through the foot. I have what they call drop foot. So I have problems with balance and sometimes falling. Psychologically, you know, I was very fortunate. Yes, I was diagnosed with PTSD, but I started getting treatment while I was in the hospital, and it continued for over a year. And I was very fortunate to have EMDR, which is a form of therapy, to help me get through the terrible night sweats and flashbacks that I would have when I was trying to sleep. Until I went through that therapy, I was really sleepless, and it gave me my life back. So I'm just a very lucky person to have been able to survive, because I was supposedly almost died twice on the ground and once in the hospital. Survived the thought of an amputation, which didn't happen. So I consider myself very fortunate, even though it was awful and it will be with us as a family forever. I still think about the families who lost loved ones. I think about my deputy, Gabe Zimmerman, just a wonderful young man, 30 years old, just recently engaged, was in love, and who came and ran to our aid and was shot in the back of the head as a result of that. John Roll, my college friend, who came over to say hello and tried to protect me. I mean, there's so many incredible stories of how people both helped and died. And, you know, I don't want that to ever be totally forgotten by our community. That's why the memorial exists.
Ron Barber, always a pleasure talking with you. Until next time, stay safe, Ron. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Sorry I couldn't be with you. I would have been delighted to be across the table from you, but that didn't happen.
That will be the next time. Moe's Gallery and Find Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com presents our new addition here to the program. We call it the Monday One-on-One. Coming up next, the monthly scam alert from the Better Business Bureau. It's Buckmaster on a Monday. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you interested in sailing on an all-inclusive luxury cruise, trekking on an expedition adventure, or relaxing on a tropical beach? Then join us on February 26th at the Hilton El Conquistador as Bon Voyage Travel hosts our free travel showcase. Over 35 representatives from the world's best travel brands will be on hand to help you discover all the world has to offer. The Bon Voyage Travel Showcase, February 26th. Be sure to visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Monday edition, now that our one-minute snowstorm is over with. We had big flakes for about 1 minute, and then that was it. So we had our, I guess that would qualify as we did have a snow event here in Tucson, but it was a very brief one. It is time for our monthly interview segment featuring the monthly scam alert presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, one of America's fine BBB affiliates. And we welcome now back to the program Denise Alvarez, the operations manager. And Denise brought our friend Jesse Ash, communications specialist from the BBB, with us. Jesse, how was your holiday?
It was wonderful.
You had a good time. How about you, Denise?
It was great.
Well, we are off and running. Scammers never take a holiday. They are up and ready to go. And unfortunately, we are, in many cases, the consumer, the victim. But today we're going to be talking about what they call the NFC. What is that, Denise?
NFC stands for Near Field Communication, which uses high-frequency radio identification. That makes it easier for each device to communicate with one another.
Almost sounds like it's a national football conference thing. No, but this isn't. This is called the Near Field Communication. Jesse, how is it used?
So the use for near-field communication is growing every day. It uses a series of protocols to make transactions easier and faster, to make contactless payments, share digital content, connect one device to another, and lots more.
Why is this a problem, Denise? Why should we know about this, and how can it be used to maybe hurt the consumer?
Definitely. So we just have to be aware of what our technology is using and how to protect ourselves. And really, it's really important to make sure that you have a password on your mobile device. Enable the two-factor authentication. I know that that sometimes is a hassle, but you want to get that two-factor authentication ready on your devices so that you know who's accessing them and what's happening.
And the probably wouldn't hurt to be up to date on the usage policy.
Absolutely correct.
So what should you know about that?
You want to know, what it says, and make sure that you have the device up to date as required for the security patches on your firmware and updates. So your computer, your cell phone, make sure that you know what it's being used for.
Is there a way, Jesse, to turn the NFC off when it's not in use?
Each device is different, so it would probably be in settings, but it is important to turn that setting off when not in use, so it's not communicating with other devices nearby, which could lead to scammers getting your information.
Should you update, Denise, wherever possible?
Yes, absolutely. Whenever those updates are available, you want to go ahead and make those.
With the security patches, is that what we're talking about?
Correct, yes.
So when should we use the near-field communications? What would perhaps vendors and individuals that we trust, obviously?
Correct. Whenever you're trying to make a contactless payment, that feature does have to be on. Or whenever you're transferring information from one device to another. I know for me it's the AirDrop, so that has to be on if I want to use it. But when you're not using any of those types of services, you want to go ahead and turn it off.
All right. Learning something new here. I was not really aware of the near field communication. Another scam hitting the ranks, parking ticket scam. What in the world's that, Jesse? A parking ticket scam? Are these people that are making, printing their own parking tickets and putting them on your windshield?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. They are using new technology such as a handheld printer to print tickets, parking tickets, and place them on windshields, and they look legit, and they often include like a QR code to make the payment. So someone makes their payment thinking that they paid their parking ticket, their fake parking ticket, and the scammer gets the money and, you know, they know no different.
But they look really legitimate?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
What, like from the city or something? Or?
Right. So they include the information. They just make them look legit. And they ask you to pay online, use PayPal. We actually heard from a consumer that said that they paid $15 using that QR code. Mm. And then they were instructed to put the receipt on their windshield. And then they got another notice letting them know that it wasn't visible, so that they needed to pay another $56.
Whoa. And, you know, you hate to give a credit card to some of these people, because once you've made this, whether it's $15 or $56, they've got your info.
Right. Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, be alert. Parking ticket scam. I mean, how, if you don't think you are illegally parked or something, maybe question it, right?
Right, absolutely. I mean, you want to make sure that you call someone, call.
Yeah.
And especially if it's like, let's say you're parked downtown, you know, it's a city, so you want to contact the city. Don't call the number on the parking ticket, because that's the scammer that's answering the phone. So you want to make sure that you contact the city or wherever you're parked, that business, and make sure that you actually got a ticket.
Denise Alvarez is with us, and Jesse Ash from the Better Business Bureau of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Denise and Jesse, today is the first day that the Internal Revenue Service will be accepting returns. Scammers love to join in on this. They love to kind of figure out how to scam you.
Yes, absolutely. You start getting those phone calls letting you know that you didn't file on time, or there's an issue to update your information. Make sure that you contact the IRS directly. Again, if they leave you a voicemail message, don't call back that number, because that's the scammer picking up. So you want to go to the IRS. You know, if you don't have an account with the IRS, make sure that you give them a phone call and ask, you know, those questions. Is this something that you sent to me, before you make any payments or verify any of the information?
Where can we find out more information about scams?
If you visit bbb.org, you'll find information, more tips and resources on how to avoid being a victim of scams.
How are your networking events going, Denise?
They're going really well. We have one coming up January 26th. It is our BBB networking mixer. It's from 5 to 7 at Catalina Brewing Company. And then we also have we're our sponsor for the Friends of PAC Parade. And we would love for you to register your team. It's petsofpimaparade.com.
Yeah, they did their launch last year, was their initial event for Pima Animal Care Center. The parade went very well, and they're expecting bigger things this year.
Yes.
Jesse, do you love animals?
I do.
So do I. How about you, Denise?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're going to have the BBB will have a team?
Yes, correct. We'll have a float, actually. Yeah, we'll be in the parade. We'll be there providing information, especially because of that puppy scam. I know we talk about it all the time.
I know. Talk about it again real quickly,
yeah,
the puppy
absolutely.
Scam, for those that haven't heard.
Yes. So it's the puppy scam is when you try to go online and purchase a dog. And so we're really supporters of not purchasing, you know, don't shop, but adopt. And you end up not getting the puppy, paying thousands of dollars and never getting the puppy. It's a fake ad. And so we really want consumers to know that these ads are out there and that there's other options besides buying online.
Yeah, please consider the other options, like the Pima Animal Care Center or the Humane Society or one of our many animal welfare rescue groups that we have in this community. It's a very loving community toward our companion animals. Just support them locally here. Don't get involved over the internet with some kind of a puppy scam. We've got plenty of animals here that are waiting for a great home. All right, what about the Torch Awards? Are you still accepting nominations?
Nominations closed. We will actually be contacting the nominees tomorrow, letting them know that they've been nominated, and letting them know about the application process. But mark your calendars March 19th at 5:30 p.m. for our Torch Awards at Casino del Sol.
May?
May 19th, yes.
Yeah, May 19th. Uh-huh. Okay, for the 2023 Torch Awards. All right, Jesse Ash, thank you, Jesse, for coming in. Jesse is the communication specialist at the BBB, and Denise Alvarez is always a great guest as well. Denise is involved as the operations manager at the BBB. And again, Denise, the website?
Is BBB.org.
All right. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
I hope the new year is off for a good start for you.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much.
Right.
Thank you for having us.
Take a break right here. Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, is waiting in the wings. Mark's next after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. When we do our telephone interviews, we did one of those at the beginning of the show. We did our Monday one-on-one with Ron Barber. That was presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. And, of course, the naming sponsor for our one-on-one is Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Want to talk about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico for a few seconds. Great time to start planning, time to get out of town. Get away for a few days. Only a three-hour drive over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Great outdoor activities. There's a wonderful indoor activity as well. If you are into Mimbrace pottery, they have the finest collection of the Mimbrace pottery in the world at Western New Mexico University. which is located in Silver City. The website is southwestnewmexico.org for more information about your getaway to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And did I say it's only about a three-hour drive? Dr. Mark Sykes is with us. He's the CEO and director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute for now more than 50 years. This Tucson-based nonprofit has been engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Happy New Year. Happy 2023.
New Year. We can still say Happy New Year because it's the first time I've seen you in the new year. And I saw you posted on Facebook, I think it was like a kind of a greeting on Facebook. You assembled the whole team. Everybody was together that's in Tucson, and you've got quite a few people working over there on Fort Lowell.
Oh yeah, we've got about 40 odd people there, and then another 140 in 30 states around the country.
Boy, your organization really has grown, hasn't it, Mark?
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. What's going on with SpaceX? They have really. This kind of private government venture has really, really grown, hasn't it?
Yeah, they've become a very reliable launch vehicle source. And of course, I will never get tired of watching the boosters and stuff coming back down and landing on the platform, straight up and down. It's like, my gosh. They just recently had a launch of their Falcon Heavy. On I think it was the Space Force's first launch this year.
I think it's their fifth though since the
they
debut
started,
of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
These are reusable. Is that?
Oh yeah. The launch vehicles are reusable. Okay. Well, in this case, the main stage was not, but the boosters on the strap to the side, were and were brought back. I think it is possible to bring back the first one, but they just weren't in the right orbit in order to get it down at the right time to land. So they dumped it in the ocean.
Cost savings?
Well, net, over many launches. So they launched a satellite into geosynchronous orbit for the Space Force to release signals from existing military satellites back to Earth. And, of course, in geosync, the satellite is sitting up above the same point on the ground all the time, because a satellite in geosynchronous orbit has a 24-hour period. So it stays right above where it wants to send its signal. And but then they also launched five small sats at the same time. And I'm really love how we're able to more reliably get these multiple satellite launches off of a single launch. And in this case, four of the satellites were space situational awareness, had space situational awareness missions, whether to actually go look or test means of looking, and one satellite or one secure communications thing. Space situational awareness is where you want to understand what's out there, whether it's orbital debris, other satellites, or natural objects. And actually here in Arizona, we have a long history of working on this. Back in the 80s, Frank Lowe and I were co-PIs on a Star Wars grant. It was my first grant or contract to help build what was called the Celestial Background Scene Descriptor in the thermal infrared, so that we could say, yeah, don't shoot at this natural phenomenon, because I discovered some phenomena that under the right conditions could look like MIRVs coming over the horizon, you don't want to cause a conflict because you're misinterpreting natural phenomena. And that's a lot of what they do today. Yes, they're looking at satellites, they're looking at orbital debris, because you don't want to be hit by that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And but they're also want to be very aware of all these small bodies that are coming by the Earth Moon system all the time, and some hitting the atmosphere, and others just drifting by. We read about these things several times a year.
Star Wars in the 1980s, that was the whole idea of it was kind of like the whole infancy of this, of the satellite era.
Yeah, that was that. Yeah. Well, not the satellite era.
Not
the
satellite era, goes back to actually
the space situational awareness 60s. Era, for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
So the SpaceX company is doing pretty well because they received a $316 million contract in August of 2020 to launch this current rocket. So mm-hmm. they've mm-hmm. got a lot of money invested. But look how they've grown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they're sending people up to the space station now, you know, which is far cheaper than the cost of Soyuz.
So other events going on that we should know about in light of, I guess should we forget about Artemis and all its but it was a successful mission, wasn't it? The moon mission, once it got going.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with that program is that the SLS launch vehicle is like $4 billion a pop now.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully one of SpaceX's launch vehicles may be able to do the same job for a lot cheaper. But NASA's announcing some big plans for some more kind of JWST-like observatories. JWST operates in the thermal infrared.
The James Webb Space Telescope.
Yes.
We've all seen these just amazing pictures. So NASA is already thinking about what's next, the next generation of these?
Yeah, in fact, they're calling about the next generation or the next great observatories, and that is and these, like the Habitable Worlds Observatory, is another 6-meter class telescope using the same kind of flat plate modules that comprise the James Webb telescope, and they would launch it probably out to a similar location. This one would operate between, like I said, the James Webb is operating in the thermal infrared, which is like what you see from hot objects.
Mm-hmm.
This one would operate more like Hubble, from the UV ultraviolet to the near infrared, and so through the wavelengths that we see with our eyes and just outside of it on either side of that, and that would be for directly imaging Earth-like planets around other stars, but also so there are other exoplanets in those same systems. But so they'd have a spectrometer on there to look for water or oxygen or ozone.
It'd be more very specific what they'd be looking for.
Well,
habitable world, possible habitable
worlds. They're looking for evidence
worlds.
Of life, at least that's the thought. Now, to do that, of course, that's the estimate right now. And, of course, James Webb started off at $1 billion and ended up being $10 billion. So we'll see. NASA would need an augmentation of about $1 billion a year in its astrophysics division. And of course, now facing the debt ceiling debacle. Even talking about it as we get close is going to cause problems.
Makes me nervous.
Yeah. So if they if the people pushing this actually succeed in getting a substantial amount of money cut from already appropriated funds, and they're talking about, of course, the what do you call it? Not optional, but part of the budget, but it's the part of the budget.
Discretionary.
That includes NASA and a bunch of other things. And I think we could probably say goodbye to the Artemis program and certainly any initiatives like this, and also puts a threat on a lot of our existing but not yet launched planetary missions. Which then becomes more difficult because things move in the solar system. And so if you put off launch, well, you may not be able to do it, or it may cost yet a lot more money in order to do the same thing.
All right.
So good stuff.
We'll see what happens. Dr. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. We can find out more, and I hope folks do, by visiting psi.edu. That's Planetary Science Institute. They are based right here in Tucson, and they do remarkable work. Good to see you, and I hope the new year is going to be a good one for you. We'll see you next month.
Yeah,
Dr.
Good to see
Mark
you, Bill.
Sykes, CEO and Director of Planetary Science Institute. That'll do it. On behalf of Dr. Sykes and John, engineering and producing the show, on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying, hope your week is off to a good start. Hope you have a good one. We'll be back with you in about 23 hours. We'll do it all over again.